141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reach the midway point of another busy, busy week in Scottish football. Rangers move into second place with a comfortable 2-0 win against Aberdeen. The Dons' search for a new manager continues. Who will replace Jimmy Tilleen and the third Martin O'Neill era at Celtic? Very much underway, preparing for life on the pitch. And what about the January transfer window as well? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have two men who were out of action last night because they sabotaged the pitches so they didn't need to play. It's Alex Ray of Partick Thistle and Marvin Bartley of Livingston. I know it's true. I've seen you. You've got the dark arts.
I thought you'd been looking for my bedroom window when you said that. I was thinking, where's he going with this? Listen, that was cancelled due to a frozen pitch. So, yeah, we couldn't play our game, Gordon. But it's been all action, hasn't it, at the top of the Scottish Premiership. Brilliant for Rangers yesterday, you know, getting 3 points. I think Danny Roll, when he came in, they were 13 points behind. Now find themselves 3 points behind. Yes, they played a game more in January, so be absolutely delighted with how he's gone, especially a manager that not a lot of Rangers fans wanted at the start. I'd be interested to hear their opinion on him now. Celtic getting Martin O'Neill in. After 10 years in Scotland, I'm no longer surprised, Gordon. I'm really not. Some crazy, crazy things do happen, but, you know, listen, he was a man that everyone wanted to come back in. Nancy came in, didn't get the results that he needed or wanted. Listen, I think he'll get a tune out of Celtic again. And obviously it puts the pressure back on Hearts, who beat us at the weekend. So yeah, listen, it's all system goes at the top of the league and it's nice and competitive. I'm enjoying it.
I'll have you admitting to getting the hose out on the Livy pitch by 8 o'clock. And Alex Ray, he might have been here for 10 years and he's now used to the madness, but you never truly know what to expect next, do you?
No, not at all. I think when you think the opening half of the season, Gordon, it's been remarkable, you know, how well Hearts have done. I think last night was a really important win for Rangers on the back of the Old Firm victory at the weekend. You know, the questions would have been, can they follow that up with a big result? They managed to do that quite easily last night against Aberdeen. And, you know, Celtic's got Martin O'Neill in. They'll be looking for that bounce from which they got originally with 7 wins out of 8. So I think January is going to be massive. I think that'll be the big talking point throughout the course of the next couple of weeks or so, just to see who they get in, who's going to make the difference and who can get over the line.
And do you want to know the difference between you two? When your game was postponed, I know exactly what you'd have done. Jammies
Netflix.
On, feet up, Nando's, box set. You and Mark Wilson away to watch Airdream and Shows after your game was postponed. Honestly, what a professional. What a duo.
I was saying to Marvin before the game, the actual cakes at half time were incredible.
Well, that's why
what a selection it was. I'll be back there again.
There we go. 01419511025. We're putting them both to work tonight after the postponements last night for Partick Thistle and Livy, but we've got big business to take care of. So get in touch and let us know what you are thinking. 01419511025. Rangers fans, can you quite believe you're in second place in the first week in January, given everything that's gone on, Russell Martin and all that sort of stuff, and Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart? It's been an unbelievable start to the season. You're now 3 points behind Hearts. You have, of course, played the game more, but what do you make of that position you find yourselves in? And what about last night specifically then? What pleased you about it? What worked? What didn't work? Because there's still other things that need improved upon. Let's talk through the big incidents in the game. It was a fairly comfortable night. I think most people would concede that. Aberdeen maybe one or two breakaways, but other than that, give us all your thoughts, all your assessments from a cold night at Ibrox. Everything is against the backdrop of the January transfer window at the moment as well, so not just you Rangers fans, everybody really. I want you to get involved and let us know what you're hoping for in the January sales. Give us a call right now, please. Celtic fans, I don't think the dust ever truly settles this season. It can't possibly. There's always something around the corner. But Martin O'Neill very much back now. That'll be a couple of training sessions, trying to get a bit of stability on what's been one of the most chaotic seasons for you in a long, long time. So what's the immediate priority then? How do you see that playing out? If you've any kind of leftover thoughts about Wilfred Nancy's departure and Martin O'Neill's return, we'll take those. And again, maybe a focus on the January window, because in terms of Glasgow's big two, we're 7 days in, and what is it, one loan signing from Bournemouth at right back between them? Did you expect a bit more by this stage? I know they say it's a difficult window and there's still a few weeks to go, but give us all your thoughts there on what your team needs. St Mirren fans, you've signed today. You've signed Alan Campbell, who Motherwell fans will know really well. Dundee United fans know a little bit. So you've started your January recruitment. And to carry on the wider managerial theme, we had a bit of reaction, real mixed reaction actually last night to Neil McCann going in at Kilmarnock. We'll take more of that. And maybe you Aberdeen fans, you were lost in the Celtic drama a bit over the last couple of days. But Jimmy Tilleen also sacked. Which direction would you like to see your team go in? Should St Mirren fans be worried that you look for Stephen Robinson? I think we had a discussion last night about whether they would ask Motherwell the question and whether Jens Bertolaskou would be interested at this stage. So all your thoughts on the managerial merry-go-round as well. 0141 951 1025. You giving us any exclusive Livingston signing business? Are you confirming or denying the Scott Arfield reports?
I'm saying neither.
No comment
neither
from you.
Neither of the two.
That's a yes to me, Alex Ray. So he can say what he likes. What exactly? Because if it was not true, but he just said no. So carry on.
Yeah, neither of the two. Be good if we could bring Scotty in though to help us.
What Scotty try and, must be.
Try and climb the league. Obviously, a player of his experience and stuff. Fortunately, didn't work out for him the way he wanted this season at Falkirk. By all accounts, he wants more minutes. I think he played 30 minutes for them this season. So yeah, listen, if he can come into our squad, he'll definitely improve us. Having that experience in and around the training ground as well would be massive for us, but definitely on the pitch on a Saturday, he would come up with some big goals, I imagine, and give us that another number 10, which we are looking for at the moment.
You and Mark Wilson on the charm offensive.
I think everyone has Gordon. I think most people will try and recycle players that are not available really, and guys you're trying to shift on, and you're always trying to refresh it as well. I think always a couple of new faces in January. It's extremely difficult. What you tend to find is, you rightly said there, it's a weekend and most people haven't got any business done. You tend to see it further down the line. It's almost like a game of chess. No one wants to budge first. As soon as one goes, it's like a domino effect that kicks off a couple of more on the back of that.
Come on, get all your calls in. It's nice to have a game to look back on as well. There's been so much off-field drama, but nice to have a game to look back on as well. Let's go Billy, who's on the line. How are you, Billy?
Not bad, Gordon. How's yourself?
Good, thank you. Second place now, Billy, as a Rangers fan. Has that come sooner than you expected a few months ago?
I just can't believe it's came at all. given the season it's been. My point is, Gordon, and I hope the panel will agree with me, all season is we've been up and down, up and down, up and down. Russell Martin, obviously we know, wasn't the manager. Wilfred Nancy wasn't the man, but what I've heard from, yes, no offence, but the people have been phoning in to your show, some of the pundits and all the rest of it, is the players need to take responsibility. We've got players there that are good enough to do it, and it's showed since Danny Rose has moved in. You know what I mean? When Martin O'Neill came in after Brendan Rodgers, he got a kick out of the players and they started winning games and they started going in the wee run. And I dare say it's going to be the same again now. The Wilfred Nancy has moved out. Yeah, I know we need players in. We need quite a few players in, to be honest with you. But I think the players that are there just now, it's not the... You know, I mean, it's not the players. It's the tactics that we've had. The formations we've had and all the rest of it. And I think now it's been shown that Rangers could have been a team to start halfway in the beginning if we had the right manager in place, which obviously we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Billy's saying he can't believe Rangers are second at all. Yeah. Alex, I think obviously what you need, this is not designed to take anything away from Danny Rule, because you need to keep up your side of the bargain. The points total since he came in tells you that. They've hardly slipped up. I think maybe what the surprising bit is obviously the way Celtic have come back to them a bit, because who would have predicted
two wins in eight, Gordon? I don't think anyone would have seen that kind of demise.
It is what it is. Second place, having played a game more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, but listen, I think it's a combination of both. I think it just shows you the importance of people buying into what a manager's trying to, put his ideas across. And if it doesn't work, and also being pragmatic. If you're trying to put your ideas across and it's not quite working, you then have to move and try and shift it a little bit without giving too much away to the players. You might go for a back three, a back four, or whatever that may well look like. And I don't think Nancy and Russell Martin did that. I think when you look at Danny Rowe currently, he came in and he got, I think it was a sore one, was it 3-0 in his first game in Europe, and then all of a sudden he went to a back three. So I think he's been flexible, he's been pragmatic. And I think what's happened at Rangers is, I think when you start to get three or four wins, all of a sudden there's confidence and then you're on a roll. And I think it was a one defeat to Hearts. They started that game well, but unfortunately they couldn't sustain that. So I think over the piece, I think the Rangers current group are grown in stature, they're grown in confidence, there'll be a belief within that. And it's interesting because a lot of these players were written off. You know, I think most of the Rangers fans were going, oh, there's a really poor recruitment drive in the summer. But you're starting to see wee shoots of improvement with some of these guys, and again, on the back of wins. So it just shows you the importance of winning games, Gordon.
Yeah, I also think, you know, Russell Martin was obsessed with possession. And I think, you know, the Rangers players, when the pressure was on them from the stands, they really struggled to, you know, goal kicks building out from the back constantly. And Danny Rose came in and said, you know, it's not about the way that he probably wants his team to play. It's about getting the best out of the players that are currently there. And he's managed to do that, you know, as Alex saying there, whether it's a back three or a back four, they're slightly more direct with what they do. They want to play in the opposition's final third rather than their own defensive third. And as you said there, when you win games, you know, players become even more confident as you go on. And so sometimes they're playing good football and winning games, and it was two set plays yesterday that wins in the game. So they're finding different ways to do it, Gordon. I think that's the most important thing. I think under Russell Martin, it was one way, it was his way or no way at all. And the Rangers players at that moment in time couldn't grasp it, and other teams were finding it too easy to work out.
Let's hear from Danny Rule on the game last night, that 2-0 win at home to Aberdeen.
We played some good football in some minutes, in some parts we had some easy ball losing situations, but all in all I'm very proud of the group at the moment. I think especially the last 15 minutes you felt really we are empty, but from my point I felt that we controlled the game. We deserve to win. Again, two goals after set play, strong performance from this part, a couple of more chances. After the game on the weekend, you never know, yeah, it's always difficult to play then 3 days later again, but we delivered again and next 3 points help us. On the weekend we scored after transition moments, 3 times, ball winning situation today after set play. Very important that you have a lot of tools how you can score, and also by the set play we invest a lot of time on the pitch, off the pitch. Scott is doing a fantastic job. I think you have to improve if you want to be top of the league. You have to improve in all the parts. We are in a good way, but it's just the next 3 points, not more, and we have to continue.
Is Rangers' new set-piece coach Scott Fry actually maybe one of their signings of the season? We're about to get obsessed with the January window.
Yeah.
It's all the rage, these set-piece coaches.
Yeah, of course, and it's a lucrative one as well. They don't pay for something for the players as well, this guy. So he must be making a few quid, so I might have to start paying a bit more attention to this. But listen, I think he's absolutely right. Set plays are massive, and whatever level you play at, it's massive. And to score, I think that's 5 now for Fernandez, which, you know, is really helping him grow as well, because he was having a difficult time when he first came in. And then obviously Nico Raskin's added to that as well. So again, you have to get the delivery on the money. And then again,
Conor Barron's now taking them instead of James Tavernier.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's something in that. I mean, your team down the road, Marvin, annoying me, to be honest, because of the whole discussion around Arsenal and set pieces, and every time they score, it's like as if it's the brainchild of the set piece coach. However, it can't be a coincidence. A few people will say, well, Manny Fernandez is about 7 foot tall, so it's just stick the ball in there and he'll head it in. But you do also need to get these people in the right positions. You need to free those guys up. It's not like they're hanging them all up and he's towering above everybody. You're trying to get these people into the right areas. You know, it's worked upon. That's why. And it's easy for us to scoff because we're always a bit behind everybody. But teams use set piece coaches now. Hearts and Rangers both have one.
Yeah.
So it shows you how it works.
The delivery is massive, though. Like you said there, you know, the set piece coaches are absolutely fantastic to have. But if you've not got someone who can put the delivery in there, or someone that's going to go and attack it, then, you know, they're kind of pointless. You know, you're speaking about Arsenal down the road. Theirs is basically put the ball into an area and let the players attack it. You know, for example, we played against Rangers and Fernandez scored a header against us. And we had a set up, you know, we kind of knew the area the ball was going to go into. But the ball was that good. And he's towering above, you know, the next person who was marking him, that there's nothing you can do. And, you know, he ends up heading the ball in the back of the net. So, yeah, listen, set piece coach, I imagine, you know, wants to get certain areas where you can, you know, feed the ball into. But you've got someone like Fernandez attacking it. It's so difficult to stop.
But maybe we'll get to this in terms of the Rangers fans, what they saw last night, what they still want to see, Alex. That, you know, you can't just sort of view it as a small part of the game. If I think clearly Rangers aren't, they're not brilliantly fluent in their attacking play, and not carving teams. They're not there yet. They're finding ways to win games. And if you can then be harder to beat like they are and carry a real set piece threat like they have. Both goals last night are off of that, so it shows you how important it is.
I think when you add it all together, that becomes a winning kind of strategy, Gordon. You're absolutely right, because I think they're not the best defensive record along with Motherwell, is it? So, you know, defensively they're a bit better than most. Set piece, and again, you mentioned Hearts. Hearts are at the top of the set piece table, so you know they've invested in it and they're also kind of getting the rewards from that. And it's massive, because it could be the difference for just a couple of points, which keeps you ahead of the rest. But I still get the impression that Danny Rowe has targets in mind for specific areas, because he's already said that he wants to add to the squad. And see, even if you go back 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, he was very specific that he actually wanted to add at the top end where it really mattered, to the most creative part of the pitch. So I still think Rangers will do a bit of business this window. I think they were talking about a six as well, to be more kind of like the quarterback just pulling the strings there as well. So I think they're still looking to add a few. But as
he's improved
said,
the players as well, though, hasn't he? You know, you talk about managers going in and wanting to sign players constantly. Danny Rowe's definitely improved players that were there under Russell Martin, like you said there, the people were kind of written off. And now all of a sudden, Barron springs to mind, you know, Mikey Moore again, new lease of life with a new manager coming in, whether it's the system, whether it's what he's doing on the training pitch, whether it's his man management. It's not only that he wants to go out there and say, I need 5-6 new players. He's also going to show the board and say, listen, I've improved players that were in here at the start of the season that were sitting in eighth place. It was a draw at Falkirk before Russell Martin kind of lost his job. So he's doing a fantastic job in terms of, you know, making them better as well.
What do you think about this Rangers team then, Gary, and what's next?
Evening, gents, how are we? Okay, happy
good
new year.
Hello, man.
I think after the Old Firm game and stuff like that, the game last night, just hopefully we can go up to Pittodrie. Don't take the foot off the gas. Regarding the transfer window, we Thirlwall and Russell Martin and stuff, we need players that are going to come in there. Maybe three or four players that are going to come in there, either be in the first team squads, either be on the bench or whatever, and be ready to go. I don't know if it's a couple of Scottish players. I heard a couple of people saying maybe a number six. I'm thinking maybe a number eight, pushing more forward. I think Raskin is okay just sitting back just now. But we need people that are going to come in there and not be sitting there, coming in like a couple of the players that come up to England that are just going to sit there. Come in, you know, 2 months, 3 months down the line. We need people that are coming in straight away, because we're on a good run. Since Danny Rowe's come in, there's been a few people that have went on the run with what he's asking them to do, and there's a couple of players that are just not shifting with the progress of the rest of the team.
I think it is a six, Alex, for sure. I think that's
definitely a six, Gordon,
they're after, whether that means you move Raskin further forward. Or whether it's just to compliment the department overall. I think clearly if you're looking at ones that there were high hopes for among some people that haven't worked, Joe Rothwell would be the obvious one. You'd look to try and get rid of that and replace him, so to speak, with someone who contributes more in the first team. So I think I've had it on, you know,
good authority.
From what you hear, that is an area for sure. Interesting to see what order that comes in. Because as you say, it doesn't mean that when we talk about priority areas, it doesn't mean that's the one you get first, because you just might need to wait until that player becomes available.
It will depend on who's, as you say, who's going to land first. I would suggest a left back's a priority as well, Gordon. I think they're very light in that area. So I think there's a lot of work to be done in the next 3 weeks or so. And then obviously again, someone like Rothwell will most certainly get picked up with a championship club. He was instrumental in league's title challenge last year. So for me, that'll be a kind of straight swap. That'll free up the cash. But it'll be interesting to see, because it's not, you know, I would imagine all the other clubs, like we're just touching with Marvin, you know, everybody's looking for players. And it's just, if one lands, then it maybe set off a four or five in the back yet.
Gary, what do you think about Rangers' title prospects after last night? There's a kind of symbolism attached to going into second. Celtic and Hearts, of course, have still got a game in hand.
I think, since he's come in, I mean, the progress he's making is unbelievable. I mean, who would have thought that we're in second place like tonight? I mean, we've got Annan Athletic, and then we've got that Europa League double with Dundee in the middle of it. So I think it would be good to rest some players during that, because the Europa League's finished for me. Because then after Porto, you've got Hibs, Kilmarnock, Motherwell and Hearts, and then I think Celtic. mean, that's tough. So I would rest with Anathletic and then, but priority is beating Aberdeen. Definitely need to beat Aberdeen again.
Thank you very much to Gary, 0141 951 1025. Whatever it is that's on your mind tonight, now would be a good time to share it, and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Marvin Bartley are here, both waiting on you to get in touch. Let's dive in again with Serge, who's in Shettleston. Hi Serge.
Evening panel, thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year to you all.
Thank you, same to you. What have you got?
Basically, I'd just like to phone up and say I'd like to congratulate Danny Rowe and actually the squad for the difference since he's taken over. Obviously, very happy Rangers fan. I'm under no illusions that we are going to win the league or whatever. I think it's brilliant. It's a competitive league this season for the first time in ages, and it's not just going to be a two-horse race. But I think we really need to back this guy, this manager. I think this manager could do wonderful things for Rangers. But we need to be patient. Even if we don't win the league this year, we need to be patient. We need to get his own players in. But you can see that we're going somewhere under this guy. And long may it continue. And long may it continue to have a competitive league here, because it's... The only thing I'd say about Scottish football now is our European results have dipped. It's good advert for Scottish football. But it's not just Celtic running away with it, or it's a two-horse race. It's good to have hearts. And who knows, maybe Motherwell.
Yeah. I'm torn between I can't decide whether I want...
To win the league.
No, whether I want the credit of being involved in the conversation or whether you're happy just to fly under the radar, under the radar, as they say. I don't know. I keep changing my mind on it. See, when Serge talks about, you know, back this manager because I think he can do great things, I have no idea if he'll do great things. Time will tell. But is that almost what you're looking for if you come in what month was it? October time?
Roughly, yeah.
You forget how mad the season's been. That you can sort of earn everybody's trust that you're the guy to take you into the January window when it comes around. You know, if you take over in the autumn and you're not very good, once it gets round to the January window, people are already wondering whether you can be trusted, so to speak. We already had it, didn't we, with Wilfried Nancy? Yeah. He was only in a few games, but people were questioning, based on what we're seeing from this guy, can you trust him to identify the players? It seems like at the bare minimum, before we even talk about league position, Danny Rowe's got the Rangers fans excited to see what he could do once he gets his own players in.
Yeah, 100% Gordon. Like you said, that comes based on the results that, you know, he's put together with this Rangers squad that was struggling so much at the start of it. Because as I said, when he came in, there's probably maybe 30%, 40% of the fan base who actually wanted him there. Now every single Rangers fan saying, listen, if we back this guy, he could really be a good one for us. And that's came from getting good results, that's came from improving players. And now he's came out and identified, you know, the areas of, you know, the team that he wants to improve. And I agree with Serge, you know, Rangers need to now look at it and say, listen, we need to go and spend some money to bring in at least two players that he wants. And I'm talking about two players that go into that starting 11 and improve it. I think Rangers have got enough players now that can just be squad players. There's no point in doing that. I think you're better off getting two players that are going to go in and improve the starting 11 rather than bringing four squad players. They don't need that at this moment in time. They've got more than enough numbers. It's about upping the quality now because they find themselves 3 points behind Hearts, something that they would have killed for back then, you know, and they find themselves in January where they're right on the coattails of Hearts, in there with Celtic as well, and they've got a real chance of now winning this league title. We'd have never said that, you know, maybe, you know, 2 months ago.
I think left-back's obvious just because of a numbers game, Alex. They only really have one at the moment. We spoke about it's kind of becoming well known that they want a six, so to speak. Does the Rangers attack need boosted? And what does that look like? Because they do have Chermiti, Miovski and Danilo. That is a lot of millions of pounds. But does it still need more? Or is it the supporting cast behind that? Yeah. What do you think?
I get the impression that Danilo, they may well try and offload him in the window if they can do that. I think one of the things for Danny is that he's not been able to have a sustained run in the team, and, you know, he's broke down a few times. So they will be hoping that someone actually takes him. So that would probably free up another one at the top end of the pitch. Whether they bring in another winger, potentially could be again. But I kind of agree with Marvin some ways that I think it's important to try and get starters going, because it's no, you don't want to bloat your squad for the sake of it. I think when you look at the actual squad currently over at Ibrox, it's far too big at the moment. So you don't want people kind of meandering about. It's important that they actually ship out the ones that they've actually identified who they want to get out the door, and then obviously go to work and try to bring in it. And it's fascinating because you don't have a director of football as it currently stands at the moment, you know, who was, you know, Farewell was the guy, the go-to guy. He's bringing these players in and so forth. So obviously the manager will have a big say in that as well, along with the guys that are currently still left in the recruitment department. So I'm sure they've identified most of their targets by now. So it's just a case of trying to pull the trigger. And, you know, I think one of the callers said earlier on as well, I think it's Annan with the greatest respect next. So, you know, you've got a little bit of time, so you go to work in the meantime, because you don't want to be waiting to the 11th hour. You don't really know how fit the guy's coming through the door, as he had much match time and so forth. So the quicker you get him in the door, get your ideas across to him, this is how the team play and so forth, then they get them up to speed a little bit quicker.
What would your priority be, Serge, if you could get your chequebook out? What would your number one idea be?
Well, obviously, right, a commanding centre-half. I do think we are the wee bit. We're very good in midfield just now. We're very... he's got Raskin and he's got Barron playing out of skin. Committee, it looks like there could be £8 million worth. I don't think so. But if Miofsky can start scoring, but we need backup in that area, we maybe need to change. You know, if we have an out-and-out 20 goals a season centre-forward, I think that could be... I mean, I'm under no illusions. It's not a great Rangers team. It's not a great squad of players. It's a decent squad of players, and this guy seems to be making them better than what the previous incumbent was. So I don't think many Rangers fans are getting too carried away with actual performances, but this is a results business up here. But a centre-forward, a really good out-and-out goal sniffer, the tight games, because Rangers aren't the really hammering teams. We're winning with odd goal, maybe two goals. Sometimes we'll get pegged back. You need a player that just makes that difference, that can pop up any time and put in like a McCoy. Obviously, we'll never get another McCoy, but just a like a, we should have bought Shankland. Right? We'll not get Shankland now, but we should have bought. I think if Shankland's at Rangers are new under that manager in the same circumstances, we would be definite favourites to win the league. Definitely.
Let's hear from
Shankland will get you a load of goals domestically, even coming off the bench.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that he's at Hearts now and he's doing it for them. So you, that boat has sailed, Jeff.
Let's hear from Danny Rule on transfers.
I'm positive that we will not sign all the players on the last day. I think we can do something if I say now in the next 2 days, and then it's 3 days, then you will ask me why. But I'm more positive, and then it could be at the end of the window you find someone they can really make a big difference, and then you can go again. But we are clear on which positions we want to do something. We are clear which profiles we need. And now it's about, yeah, convince them, bring them here. And then, and this is my experience from the last couple of windows, especially in January, they need also some minutes and some days to adjust to a group they are growing at the moment. This is not easy. You can sign players, but they have to understand what we want, how we press, how we want to play football. It's about also bring them very quick. And maybe we have some players in for the cup game. It would be helpful because then we can use them there.
James is on the other line. How are you, James?
Hi, good evening, guys. Fellow Rangers fan, I agree with a lot of what Serge just said there. I don't think anybody at Ibrox is getting totally carried away. However, there's a real positivity amongst the fan base. We're looking forward to going to Ibrox again, which for the first few months of the season, to be perfectly honest with you, was a chore, because a lot of the support kind of knew from the off that Russell Martin wasn't the right choice, wasn't the right fit. So there was a huge amount of pressure on Danny Rowe coming in. You know, a relative unknown in many ways. He's obviously been at Sheffield Wednesday, but hasn't really managed a lot. He's still a young guy. But there's a lot of positivity about the support. We've still got a good way to go. And I think it's the old cliche about taking one game at a time. Yeah, we've beat Aberdeen last night and we've beaten them pretty comfortably. I was really quite pleased second half with a control of the game. We controlled it very well, apart from, I think, a couple of long balls that Aberdeen had where their centre forward didn't make the most of the opportunity. Rangers were very much in control, played some nice stuff second half as well, some nice moves that were unlucky. So we just need to keep on this momentum, push on. We've had a lot of good results over the festive period, Tynecastle aside, and amazingly, we're in this title race.
Can't believe how much the game's gone. We've got fans talking about taking one game at a time. Honestly, boring football managers have got a lot to answer. You're supposed to get carried away, James. You're supposed to phone in and tell me that Rangers are going to win the league against all odds. I do get the logic, obviously. Interesting, James puts it more about the kind of feeling, Marvin, or emotion of, oh, I'm quite looking forward to watching my team play. That should be like a bare minimum, something that wasn't there at all. And I think Danny Rule said after the weekend he felt it was the first time that he felt like a proper connection. And yeah, you kind of need that before you try and achieve anything else.
Yeah, 100%. And also to get the best out of your players, they need to feel that. So, you know, James saying it was a chore going to Ibrox to watch Rangers was down to the performance, you know, that the players were putting out on the pitch. And then, you know, there was negativity coming from the stands, rightfully so, because they weren't getting the results that they wanted. And then the players can feel that. So they're not going to be able to play to 100% of their abilities either. Now it's kind of gone the other way. You know, Danny Rowles came in, he's completely changed it. James said he's looking forward to going to Ibrox. The players will feel exactly the same. Alex has played, they will tell you that as well. Being a player out on that pitch, they'll now feel that. And they'll now play to, you know, the best of their abilities. And that's why they've managed to close the gap the way they have on Hearts. And now, James is completely right. You know, I've watched a lot of Rangers, obviously, you know, when you're in the same league as somebody, you watch a lot of their games, and some of the games they haven't been their free-flowing best, but what they've done is the most important thing. They've won games of football. So now Danny Rowles trying to bring players and integrating them into this team. He can be a lot more patient with them, the new signings, because 2 months ago it looked like they had to bring in players, get them going straight away. So, listen, it's a lot of positivity around at Rangers, but like I said, and James is saying, taking it one game at a time, they know where they've came from this season to where they currently are now. But it's now again, can the players kick on again? Can the manager kick on? And can they bring in a couple of players to enhance this group of players as well?
Hard to be free-flowing when opposition coaches kick balls on the pitch. That's all I'm going to say. James, what do you want in the January window?
I think the January window is completely different from the summer transfer window. It's a difficult window, mm-hmm, buying and selling. You're essentially looking at players that probably aren't playing regularly for their clubs just now, otherwise they probably wouldn't be at least available or to be considered. I think, as Serge, the last caller, said, and the panel have said, I think the Rangers number 9 jersey that we are still very much up for grabs. Chermiti did a good day on Saturday, and that's a great boost for him personally. I think he looked a bit tired last night. There's been a lot of games in a short period of time for all the clubs, to be fair. Bojan Miofsky's been a bit underwhelming since he came in. He doesn't look the same player that he was at Aberdeen. So I think really there is an opportunity for another striker to come in. I think, as Alex was saying, I think Danilo, I think it's been said in the press that 4 or 5 players are potentially up for transfer, Danilo being one of them. He's never really had a run. You know, he's had a couple of bad injuries. He scored some goals, but he's never really fully convinced, and I think we paid a good 5-6 million for him. So I think it's probably best all round if out of the 3 strikers that we have, it would be Danilo that would go, which would allow us to bring one in that position. We are light at left back, as you were saying, in terms of numbers, but I also haven't been totally convinced by Magoma. I know he's still a young lad. There's talk of Penrice that's at AAK Athens, that was at Hearts before. So that's certainly a position left back. There'll definitely be a left back coming in. Centre-half, yeah, I'd probably like Serge, the last caller said, a kind of dominating centre-half. Fernandez is still young. He's a big lad. He's got a few goals. Maybe just a wee bit more experience in there. So I think, as you said before, come on, if we can get maybe 3 in, but 3 starters, to really boost the first 11, push on. Yeah, we beat Aberdeen comfortably last night. It will still be a hard game on Sunday. It's never an easy place to go, as you all know. And they'll be hurting from last night because, to be honest, their fans have travelled down in really atrocious weather, yeah, and their team has gave their support absolutely nothing.
I do. I'm sorry, I was just going to say, James, I'm a bit pushed for time, so I'm going to move on. And I thank you a lot for your thoughts, because a lot of good stuff in there. But I'm now noticing a theme. Fans want a dominant centre half. a 20 goal number nine and a creative midfielder that can pull the strings. It's good to aim high. We all do it no matter what team you support. Thank
you
very much.
Got two of those three in there.
Steady.
He's waiting for the
I'm the striker.
My goodness. Right, it's time to thank James again. Celtic fans, where are you? We're a couple of days in, can you believe it, to Martin O'Neill's return. So what are you thinking now? You've sort of got over the Wilfred Nancy departure, made your peace, if you needed it. It's probably the wrong phrase, with Martin O'Neill returning. What about your transfer business and so on? Let me tell you about this first. We've just paid out £125,000 on Make Me A Winner, but the winning does not stop there. We've doubled the prize. So enter now for your chance to win £250,000 on Friday. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find the rules for this network competition. It is over 18s only. You can also call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. So text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Alex Ray are here. It's 141-951-1025. Let's have you, let's hear what you're thinking tonight, whether that's last night's game at Ibrox, the Martin O'Neill return at Celtic, the January transfer window, the vacancy at Aberdeen, the recently filled position at Kilmarnock. Whatever it is, we'd love to take your thoughts on it. Remind me, Marvin, you did came up against, you were one of the few who came up against Wilfried Nancy. One of the few that he beat, actually. Sad to get that in there.
He's not forgot that last comment.
You didn't face Martin O'Neill first time, did you? No. In his interim spell the first time? No Livy game, I don't recall. Well, as a assistant in the same league, what do you make of his return this week?
Listen, it's massive, isn't it, for Celtic? There's no doubt about it. You know, he came in, I think it was 7 out of 8 wins that he got, and it's very similar to Danny Rolls. At the time, Celtic weren't at their best, but they're winning games of football. The St Mirren game springs to mind when Callum McGregor comes up with a massive goal. I think it's the 93rd or 94th minute. They then decide to go their separate ways, bringing in a new manager. It's not worked. So, you know, Martin O'Neill's now back in. I think the lift that the players will have from that will be huge. You know, I don't put it all on the old manager, because Celtic missed some gilt-edged chances in games where they should have been ran away with. Dundee United was one of those that, you know, missing those chances regardless of formation, regardless of manager, you need to improve on. But I think he'll go back to back four, you know, with three in midfield. I think for Callum McGregor at his age to go into a flat midfield four was really, really difficult. I think he took a lot out of his game. He was pressing a lot more, but a lot out of what he does on the ball. And in terms of making Celtic tick, they didn't look nearly as solid under the previous manager. So all of these things, you know, the players will be absolutely delighted to have him back. Again, a massive character. Sean Maloney back on the training pitch as well, who everyone speaks extremely highly about, putting on sessions, etc. And I think he'll simplify it for those players. You know, we're talking about the January window as well. Martin O'Neill's clearly said that he's looking to bring in players to the football club that will help improve them. So, yeah, I think there'll be a feel-good factor around it massively. And it's now up to the players to go and show the response, you know, when they step over the white line now.
Gary is a Celtic fan on the line. Gary, you're not used to being third in the table, that's for sure. But are you excited now because Martin O'Neill's back? Or how are you feeling?
Well, firstly, good evening, Gordon, Alex and Marvin.
Good evening, Gary.
You're well, happy new year to all.
And you. To you, yep.
So, I'm scared to say I'm excited or I'm happy, because about 4 weeks ago I was on here saying I was excited and happy with Wilfried Nancy.
Where are you, Gary? Right, this is good. You're not getting away with letting that comment go, because last night someone phoned and said, what is it with all these Celtic fans who said they saw this coming and they didn't like Wilfried Nancy right from the start? So you were one that had high hopes.
You need to give something a chance.
Yep.
You can't just say, Wilfried Nancy was an unknown, much the same as Ange. So Ange turned out no bad. So obviously you had to give him a chance. I think right away maybe even after the second game or whatever, when this formation thing became a bigger issue than it initially was kind of hoped to be. It was just kind of clear that it was never going to fit. But never think, and I think Marv said something there about the feel-good factor being back at Celtic because Martin O'Neill's back. Now, that's 100% correct. I think now it's potentially time for the kind of civil war and the infighting between fans, boards, you name it, all sorts. I think it's now the time just to put that in the back burner. If you've still got an issue with the board, fine. But see, for the next few months, where we're in a title race and a three-horse race, I think the energy's a lot better if it's spent kind of supporting the team on the park and put your issues to the side just for the now, just to make sure we clinch this title. Because the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I think our support, players all pulling in the same direction, is going to be a much better force or a stronger force. Then supporters still shouting sack the board and whatever. Just put it to bed.
Do you think, couple of questions, Gary, on that. Firstly, I assume then you think it's detrimental to team performances. Do you think that is negatively impacting the team, that stuff? And then secondly, is this realistic? Because it certainly sounds good. Every club in the world wants everybody to pull in the right direction. Do you think that's possible, given how far apart the sort of two parties have seemed at times this season?
Well, I think that the fans who have kind of, they've got reason to go on the board's back, when you consider where we were in February against Bayern Munich and the Allianz, almost taking them extra time to see the way the squad's diminished and depleted. They've got every right to be annoyed, call it what you want. However, what would they prefer? Would they prefer to get their point across continually from now until the end of the season and watch Hearts or Rangers win the league and Celtic kind of come in third? Or would they rather support the team? Because the whole negative kind of shouting and the infighting must have an effect on the players to some extent. I mean, Marvin, Alex are no better than me. They probably have suffered it at some point in their career. And obviously at Celtic it's magnified because of the size of the crowd as well. But some of it's been really ugly. And I just think, no, let's put it to bed for the now. We've got Martin O'Neill back in. He's also kind of said it without saying it in his kind of press yesterday, about everyone being together. It means everybody. And I think we've got a better chance of kind of coming top in this three-horse race that with everybody pulling the same way.
He keeps saying it's just three. Gary keeps saying it's just the three. I'm just going to write that one down in case it needs revisited.
I heard you earlier on saying you didn't want
to. I know. See, Gary, I'm a massive hypocrite. That's the thing about me. Yeah. Change my mind like any at the drop of a hat. Depends what it looks like, Alex. What that like? It kind of sounds good and simple the way Gary puts it. Is this about, well, because Peter Lowell's no longer there, Paul Tisdale is no longer there, Michael Nicholson is, Dermot Desmond certainly is. Dermot Desmond's statement, and certainly the one via his son at the AGM, would suggest he and they are in absolutely no mood to back down. I think there's quite a strong resolve among some Celtic fans to keep up their side of the bargain as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It depends what either party is really aiming for, and whether, as Gary says, you do just decide to push it to.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what age Gary is, and he makes a lot of sense there in terms of pulling together. Unfortunately, I think there's still that discourse between a certain faction of the fans and the board. I think that will still be there, but I think it's a valid point in terms of Martin O'Neill. I don't think a lot of people were convinced very early with Nancy, and obviously it's ended up the way it has done. So I think when you look at Martin O'Neill come back in, I think he automatically, across the board, gets the support of the lion's share. 99.9% are behind this guy right away, Sean Maloney, partly because the first stint and obviously the interim more recently. So I think that they will come in their droves and get behind Martin, because I think, you know, if you think about Martin O'Neill, he's obviously coming back in to the summer. What a way it would be to finish if he could just drag them over the line and then try and get some sort of kind of resolve between the board, the fans, the that section of the Celtic fans that have been banned. So that also has to be addressed, Gordon. So I think in an ideal world, you know, you say get behind everyone, but I still think there'll be a large percentage of the Celtic fans are still want some action at the board level, because they don't think there's enough progress. Yeah. You know, they think they've stagnated, they think they've regressed on and off the pitch. And they won't change.
Because winning can help everything, and Martin O'Neill will have a positive impact, but he was famously there at the table at the AGM. You know, it's not like just bringing Martin O'Neill back makes that all go away. Mm. Winning games would probably quieten it a bit, but then you kind of lose a game, and you know, these issues will never truly go away. You know, Celtic now are in a situation where, Sean Maloney's picking the players for January, by all accounts. You know, Paul Tisdale, the head of football operations, isn't there. It's still, you know, they don't have a chairman. The squad is really nowhere near what it should be by Celtic's own standards. So Martin O'Neill unites fans for sure, but he can't fix everything.
No, he can't do it all by himself. We saw the first time he came in, there was, you know, like Alex saying there, between the board and the supporters, and it was at Falkirk's first game. You know, he comes in and then all of a sudden the whole stadium's just, you know, singing about the football that's being played on the pitch and welcoming Martin O'Neill back. I think in a strange way, with Celtic being in third place, you're more likely to get everyone pulling in the same direction and forgetting about the board and saying, let's just back the team now, because they're realising that it's having a detriment effect on the players.
Do you think it is, though? Because we sometimes hear that players don't take notice of this stuff.
I do. I'm not saying it would make a huge difference, but it's definitely not helping. And at this moment in time, Celtic need the help because they're sitting in third place.
Thank you very much to Gary. Speaking of needing the help, I think that applies to these two when we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The jokes don't even work anymore because you're
yeah, I was waiting for this.
He's a champion.
Yeah, I was waiting for this.
What happened last week, though?
Oh, by the way, a lot happened last week.
Right, so I genuinely don't know. All I know is I was off and I was getting bombarded with messages to
you're
say
not the only one.
That you're no longer on 100%.
No, I definitely am.
No, you're not.
Well, hang on a minute. I'm really happy that you have said this. Ultimately, what happened in the game that I played, I said that Simo was the longest serving manager right. in the championship.
And he's not.
Wait, and it was Scott Brown. Now,
what did the listener say?
They didn't say either of those two, but I got the correct answer for it, which took it to a tie break, and then I then won it. So it's not my fault that VAR didn't intervene. And a lot of times you've done a show with Willie Collin where you've been on there and Willie said, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. And ultimately, to the listeners who are out there and the ones who are watching, I'm looking to the camera as I say this, unfortunately, VAR did not intervene in it, so I'm still on 100% record because it's been confirmed. Mistakes are made.
So once the full-time whistle goes in the game, you can't go back on the VAR decision.
So I'm on 100% record. I apologise to the guy. He actually messaged me multiple times saying, you lost.
But well, it's a tainted title then.
No, it's not. There's no asterisks. It doesn't matter.
We'll pick this up in a minute. 01419511025. If you want to beat Marvin for the second week in a row, give us a call before 7 o'clock.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Alex Ray are here. Why not get in touch? Never a quiet day in Scottish football this season. But plenty to get through tonight as well. Looking back on Ibrox last night, talking about the transfer window. It's going to take more than just a couple of days to get over Wilfred Nancy leaving after 8 games and Martin O'Neill returning. St Mirren fans, you've been making some signings today. There's still a vacancy at Aberdeen. Kilmarnock have got a new manager. What more could you want? Let's play this first, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Significant period this on Beat the Pundit, because up until last week, Marvin was on 100%. And his record has now been dented.
No, it has not. I've got the recordings of you celebrating me after I won. How?
I wasn't 100%. Even here. Don't blame me. I wasn't here.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm still not 100%.
No, you got a question wrong.
So you pulled it up at the time?
Wasn't here. How could I have pulled it up?
Exactly. So I'm on 100% still. Yeah. What does the paper say in front of you? What is my percentage?
Hold on. Just because you've bullied whatever producer in there to make it say 100%.
It's not like Varley. You won't get every. There's human error in things. They're not going to get everything right.
It's a quiz. You need to answer the questions right. And you
Or you answer what is on the paper. It's not my fault that there's the same answer that was on the paper.
You said Simo Vallecari was the longest serving manager in the championship.
Well,
and here you go. Not.
Scott Brown's the head coach, so he is the longest serving manager.
Don't even go there. Seriously.
What? He's a head coach. Manager.
What's David Martindale's title at Livy?
Which one?
King.
Livy.
I'm really torn. You didn't win.
How can you be torn?
You didn't win.
Why? You tell me why I didn't win.
Because you got the question wrong.
And that was brought up when?
On my DMs many times.
Yeah, that's day. Quite bad. You were getting the messages and it wasn't even you. We move.
No, we definitely do.
I'm top of the league 100%.
You're still top
with 100%.
I'm not sure about that. Luke is on the line. How are you, Luke?
Good.
Have you ever played before?
I've played in Germany last summer.
Right, okay. Which one of that hungover duo did you play in Germany?
Matt Wilson.
And did you beat him?
I did, aye.
Ah, good on you. I remember the Dazzler travelling terribly. He, I think he lost every single night in Germany. No, so he'd actually had a really good season, and then the German beer got
international
to him.
International
lost every single week. Right, well, look, you've got a chance to really annoy Marvin Bartley and beat him for the second week in a row. So if it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Marvin Bartley. The red side will be Alex Ray. I'm getting accused of all sorts this week.
Really?
Gordon DL
rightfully
says
so.
That I can manipulate the coin toss apparently to make it land on him. So I'm now like deliberately sort of mixing up. So I don't know what side it starts on. He claims that I can sort of preordain where it's going to. I wish I had that
he's
level of talent.
He's off his head.
Let's do it. It's blue for Marvin. Cannot wait for you to lose the second week in a row. Right. Let's give Marvin something else to listen to. Luke, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, okay.
Right, 30 seconds, and your time starts now. How many goals has Emmanuel Fernandez scored for Rangers?
Five.
Who did Martin O'Neill play in his last Celtic game in charge?
Dundee.
Name either side who won in the Challenge Cup last night.
East Kilbride.
Which former Scotland international is an interim manager in the English Premier League at the moment?
Pass.
How many times have Hearts beaten Old Firm teams this season?
Three.
What colour is the Lion and Cove Rangers badge? Okay, let's bring them back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
Yeah, the tunes were decent, by the way. I don't know what that song's called.
It's good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you don't know what it is. I'm going to need way more than that. Do you know what? Immediate prize to any listener who can identify it from that. Do you know any words? Right, stop, and that's enough. People will be like trying
what's
to enjoy
on?
Their dinner and drive okay. home from
Sorry,
work
guys.
And stuff like that. Right, let's give Marvin the same set of questions as Luke in the same time frame, 30 seconds, and it all kicks off now. How many goals has Emmanuel Fernandez scored for Rangers?
Five.
Who did Martin O'Neill face in his last Celtic game in charge?
Dundee.
Name either side who won in the Challenge Cup last night.
Wraith.
Which former Scotland international is an interim manager in the English Premier League at the moment?
Darren Fletcher.
How many times have Hearts beaten Old Firm teams this season?
Four.
What colour is the Lion and Cove Rangers badge?
Blue.
In what decade were Hearts last top of the top flight at Christmas... After Christmas
2000.
Okay, look, what's the verdict? You've heard the competition.
He's done you.
Okay, let's find out. How many goals has Fernandez scored?
I know,
we'll get to it. How many goals has Fernandez scored? It's 5-4 in the league, 1 in the cup against Alloa. You both got it. Martin O'Neill last played managed, sorry, against Dundee on the 3rd of December. You both got it. Name either team who won in the Challenge Cup last night. You had the choice of Airdrie or Raith Rovers. Marvin goes one in front. Ooh. Do you admire about you though? Nothing. No, seriously. Because the easy one would have been to go for Airdrie, because Alex Ray was telling us that he was there, yeah. Scouting, taking in the cakes that Airdrie offer. But you went for the other one, Raith Rovers. So one up to Marvin. Luke knows he's kicking himself over this one. Which former Scotland international is an interim manager in the English Premier League? He's a high profile Scotland international. It's a high profile job. It is Darren Fletcher. Is that tonight they're playing? I think it is. Double check.
Anyone, who did Luke say?
He just passed, I think. Ooh. Has anyone checked to see if he's starting both Chelsea his sons? Who are you thinking, sorry Luke?
I was thinking Chelsea, then I just panicked.
He's not Scottish, the boy that was an interim charge of Celtic. He's not Scottish,
no, he's
is he?
Not.
But he was up here doing his A licence in the summer.
Ever so recently.
Just
yeah.
getting the A licence ticked off, and then you're up against Pep on the weekend. Unbelievable.
Scottish FA take credit for that.
Could have been you. Where were we? How many times have Hearts beaten Old Firm teams this season?
Four.
It is
four.
It's a double, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over Rangers and Celtic. So Marvin, I'm afraid, stretches his advantage. What colour is the Lion and Cove Rangers badge? It's red. Luke got it.
Is it red?
Wow.
Whoa. I've never got that.
It's come back.
So Luke has pulled one back. In what decade were Hearts last top at Christmas, it's the 90s, so you didn't get it right. 1991. Look, you hung on in there. You did not too badly, but I'm afraid Marvin Bartley has pipped you, which means he gets back to winning ways after losing last week.
Well done,
Biggie. I'm still 100%.
No, you've done well, right? Yeah.
Good to bounce back after defeat.
Stop saying this.
It's true.
I need to speak to the bosses of
the real
place.
The real question here is, what song was that you were listening to? Oh, and Tom Hamilton thinks he's nailed it. He says it's Glamorous by Fergie and Ludacris.
Yes, that's definitely it. Ludacris starts rapping in the thing.
Tom Hamilton's ear for this stuff must be incredible. Because you didn't give me a single word of that song.
I don't know an actual word.
I can tell. It's a great beat.
I can see that.
Good.
The beat was brilliant. Like that.
My goodness.
I don't know what they're singing about, but yeah, it's excellent. Who's that, Thomas?
Tom knows his stuff, honestly. There is no prize for that, I don't think. I'll try and get one, but well done to Tom. Anyway, incidentally, Darren Fletcher's sons do not start for him, but Jack, who's there, are we allowed to call him the English one? He's on the bench. The one that's playing his youth football for
England. How do you bring him on?
The other one's playing.
Imagine it's on the 85th minute, he's not putting him on and says, by the way, Dad, you don't bring me on. I'm going to speak to Mum about
win bonus. Yeah, or appearance bonus.
Or just.
Because did he not deliberately skip their age group as well when he was coaching, I think?
Oh, did he? To not
coach them.
Oh, fair.
I actually met when we were over in Germany talking in the summer. Darren Fletcher and the two boys, that were brilliant young men. Yeah. You would.
To be fair, Fletcher's a great lad. We went to see a game earlier on this season. He was standing at the side of the pitch, took time out.
Oh, they were lovely boys.
He's a great boy. The dad.
He was explaining how it all worked because I think they were at City youngsters, and then they chose it was fascinating how it works at that level. The lengths that they go to, you know, we talk about our academies, it's all private schools and all that down there, isn't it, that they put them into
crazy,
and remarkable. Anyway, got a bit distracted there. Luke, who's your team?
Motherwell.
Oh, good, now we're talking. Yes. You're 5 minutes too late. I spent the full break during the news boring these two to tears over my thoughts about Motherwell recently. Where are you on this? Are you happy to fly under the radar, or do you want people to mention you as being in a title race?
I'm probably in under the radar side. I don't think we're
getting it. Yeah, looks lines breaking up. To be fair, right, there is now there's a bit of a gap, because the one that you can compare it to is Rangers, because they're the ones that have played the same amount of games.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of a gap there, clearly, when you look at the points. Rangers now on 41.
Five points.
It's not a lot.
If you beat Hibs at the weekend, you can no longer go under the radar. I think that is the turning point.
Because then you take five
serious
above
contenders.
Hibs.
Yeah. I think if Motherwell go to Easter Road, it's Easter Road, isn't it?
But similarly, Hibs win. They leapfrog Motherwell, and then.
Yeah, you can carry on under the radar.
I wonder it's funny because it would seem like in one hand, it would seem like an anticlimax to just talk about top six, but it's not. Motherwell haven't been in the top six that often in recent seasons. That would have been way above what people
expectation
probably at the start of the season. I wonder at what point that looks really.
It's not just the position for me that Motherwell find themselves in, Gordon. It's the way they're actually playing.
I just think the
way that we're talking about improving players. Every single player at Motherwell Football Club, he has improved. Yeah. Because without being disrespectful, some of those boys who are doing what they're doing now, you'd have never expected them to do so. That's down to the manager. There's no doubt about it. It's not down to anyone else other than the manager. Giving them confidence and everything else, and giving them a plan and a structure to go and do it. So, yeah, it's not just where Motherwell sit in the league for me. It's just the way that he's managed to go about it. And that's why everyone's looking at them saying, congratulate them on the football they're playing. And listen, you need to enjoy, Jens for the rest of the season, because come next season, mate, he won't be there.
at least you're giving him until the end of the season. He's not away before then.
No, then that's it.
I remember going back, the first game they played this season, Clyde in the League Cup over at Hamilton. It was the hottest football game I've ever been to in this country by a mile, because there's not much competition there, is there? It was absolutely boiling. And after about 12 minutes, I think, they tried to play. The goalie was about 40 yards from his own goal. They gave it away. A Clyde player lobbed him. And I'm thinking, this is going to be the longest season of all time. And now look, 7th of January. Just shows you.
They're not booing. Was that the first one? They got booed in the League Cup. They got booed.
Yeah. He looked scraped through.
Honestly. And now look. But,
when our plans come together.
Listen, you say he'll be there for the season, but you never know what could happen down south, different leagues, because there's an identity the way he wants to play.
Think Aberdeen would ask the question.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, listen, I'll tell you what, if Aberdeen are clearly looking for a manager, then he would be the perfect fit. But for me, he's batting at a level now that, with the greatest respect to Aberdeen, that will probably be looking at a higher kind of, you know, I said Celtic potentially as well, because you listen, you go back years, Celtic have a brand, they're attacking football, playing through the lines, free flowing. So he ticks all their boxes. And the one thing that comes across with this guy as well is his confidence. See, whenever you hear him talking, he's calm, he's measured. But that goes a long way, Gordon, because you have to. As soon as you walk into a dressing room, players are going, what's this guy bringing to the table? And with the greatest respect, a lot of the boys when they're known, but all of a sudden he's got an ethos, a philosophy, and they've carried it out. And as Marv said,
you earn that then, don't you? Because without a doubt. Obviously with Andy being on here, there's been once or twice where Andy will come and say, oh, I don't know if this game plan will work. And now they're all at the stage of saying, whatever he says,
we're going with it.
Fine,
yeah.
Let's play any formation, no matter what he says. They believe it works, sort of thing.
No, and absolutely. Well, you build a bit of trust, and then obviously when you start getting success, this all boils down to results. Because let's put it this way: see, after the Clyde game, if you've done three or four games, players start going, "What are we doing here?" Mm. Do you know what I mean? So obviously, when you get results, you can see the payoff for that, and then obviously then the results, and then the style is a weekly thing. You think we're really buying into this.
Speaking of Aberdeen, as if by magic, Mark is a Dons fan on the line. How are you, Mark?
I'm away. Thank you. Bye.
What's on your mind tonight?
How you doing, Marvin and Alec?
Yeah, hello,
Mark. Good.
And yourself, Sale Gordon. Just a wee bit disappointed, underwhelmed with the whole Jimmy Tilleen situation. The guy is a really, really nice guy, very pleasant, accommodating, takes time to stop in the street and talk to you and stuff, but it's results that matter. And out with the 16 unbeaten run from the start of his tenure, since then it's been a downward spiral and we've been embarrassed in Europe and everything. And it's the support, the support that are the fall guys, because we're one of the biggest support, and we go and follow the team and we take a couple of thousand to every run. We took 1,000 last night to Ibrox, and even though we weren't playing, we've not got the players having to get confidence. We had the chances, we had a few chances. So if Peter Leaven and the coaching staff can get that sorted out, apparently they had a face off in the dressing room, and they got everything off off their minds, and they said sorry and all that kind of stuff, but sorry's no good enough. They have to do it in the park. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know where we go for here, because the team is very, very talented. I mean, you've got Clarkson, Carlson, Polvara, Palaversa. I mean, all these guys, Nisbet, Lazatic, who's potentially a good young striker.
And they don't come cheap, do they? You know, by Scottish football standards, that squad's been assembled at a bit of a cost, hasn't it?
We're on a big budget. We're on a massive budget, and when the new manager comes in, whenever he comes in, he'll have to sell before we can buy, because the squad is very, very bloated, very, very bloated. That's a very, very high number of players, caliber of players that's in the team, and they have to go before we get new players in.
Were they disappointing last night from an Aberdeen perspective? It's a funny one, because there wasn't loads to like about the performance, but Mark, in terms of a couple of opportunities that were really poorly executed, what did you make of them?
Yeah, they had a couple of chances, Mark said there, you know, and the final touches kind of let them down. But in terms of, you know, Aberdeen, you know, playing against Rangers and kind of the level of the creativity that they had in the game, and even at times, you know, it seemed like certain players were kind of hiding away from what the manager clearly wanted them to do. I can understand why Mark's disappointed, you know, and you made the point there, Gordon. It's a a team that's assembled, you know, really big budget to do so. And ultimately, you know, they've let the manager down, they've let themselves down as well. You know, yesterday's performance, as I said, wasn't up to scratch. Listen, no one was maybe expecting to go to Ibrox and win the game, but they didn't really lay a glove on Rangers throughout it. And there was a lot of frustration from the players, you could see towards the end of the game. And if what Mark's saying is right, in the dressing room, they got a lot of things off their chest. Sometimes that is needed. And now it's about showing a reaction, because that's the most important thing. Because Aberdeen fans always do travel well. You know, they do travel and they back their team. And you know, it's been really good at Pittodrie this season as well, the number of fans going into the ground. But unfortunately for them, you know, the results this season in Europe and domestically haven't been good enough. I need to get a new manager in, and then quickly for me. And I think, you know, I'll be going to St Mirren. I know we're talking about Jens. I don't think he would go there. But I think Stephen Robinson would be the man that I'd go after if I was Aberdeen.
Mark?
I think Marvin's correct, spot on. He has. It's us, the support that always feel to. We're always the fall guys that are let down. I mean, out with the cup final, the performances just haven't been good enough. I don't want Stephen Robinson, but then thinking about it, he is probably on the list, probably the most potential that could get the guys playing.
Why do you not want them then?
I don't really know. Have we got the squad to adapt his playing style? I don't really know, because you've got Carlson, Palaversa, Povara, we've got an attacking minded like team out with the defence. And another thing, Mitov's a nightmare as well. I mean the calamities that he's making to lose us a game even before we start. I mean, the first goal was his fault. The second goal,
Raskin.
He should have saved that.
He was so good for St Johnstone as well, wasn't he, Mark?
Then he pulls off an outstanding save in the second half. That's the frustrating thing. I think he needs to get a couple of goalkeeping coaches and a psychologist or something just to temper this. Like, try to catch the ball and then he drops the ball and then it's a goal to him. It's very, very... And the last point before I let somebody else on, the last point is you're supposed to learn by your mistakes. We get done with Falkirk. We are set-piece cross.
Similar, wasn't it?
We get beat with two crosses last night. So where's the learning for that? You know what I mean?
Mark, thank you very much. Mark, the Aberdeen fan, says no to Stephen Robinson. What do you all think out there? Give us a call. We can maybe pick up on that or move on when we return. Up to you.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray is here alongside Marvin Bartley. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. You can send us a message at Clyde SSB, a tweet, and let us know what you're thinking tonight. Let me give you this teaser. Ian and Lark has sent it in. I'm thinking this is easy for two men of your capabilities. After Emmanuel Fernandez continued his form in front of goal, can you name the 8 top scoring Englishmen to play for Rangers since 2013? Can you name the 8 top scoring Englishmen to play for Rangers since 2013? I like he's even added a wee caveat. It says stats according to Transfermarkt. So just in case, he's just passing the blame on to them, and I'll pass the blame on to him, and on we go.
Tavernier.
Turn his mic on. Go again.
Hello, James Tavernier.
Quite an easy place to start. He's well over
100. How many have we got? Sorry, many people?
8. James Tavernier is the top scoring Englishman since 2013. Who Defoe? Else is on the list? Jermaine Defoe is on the list. Well done.
Joey Gardner?
No, not quite. Not in the top 8.
Windass?
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there then, because that's 3 of your 8. Tavernier, Defoe, Windass. Rumoured to be making a return. Is that gone quiet, would we say?
Yeah, I saw he was linked with them, and then he was out of the Wrexham squad for one of the games. Maybe it was they played Ipswich, but right, apparently it was down to an injury rather than him, you know, being linked and moving to Rangers. So yeah, I have seen the links. I'm thinking one that Rangers will do.
Well, listen, the manager will know him well from his time at Sheffield Wednesday. That's interesting, because I was speaking to a few guys and they weren't too keen in bringing him back. But I think over the last couple of years, he's actually done very well in the English Championship.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Aaron is on. How are you, Aaron?
I'm good.
What are you thinking tonight?
Just to talk about Connor Barnes. What a player. What an engine.
That's short and sweet then, huh?
Yeah, I mean, is that, do you think that's improved since Danny Rule came in, Aaron? Is he now kind of one of the main men in the team?
Yeah, I would say aye, he should be, aye. He's done it for, well, seen years, but any time he plays, he plays.
Alex, what have you made of him? Because I feel like he is getting a bit of praise in an area of the rightly, pitch you like.
Yeah, rightly so. I think one of the things that he's actually added to his game this year, he's been a bit more adventurous. He's actually starting to take set plays as well, which gives him that responsibility. And I think he's grown in stature. I think the one thing you get with Conor Barron, since the day he stepped into Rangers, is you get that 100% every game. He charges about great energy levels. And I just feel as if he's actually went up a gear. And we spoke about the manager having a big impact on that. And with confidence and belief in yourself, I think you can, you know, particularly when you've already got the raw ingredients of working hard and getting about the pitch. So I think he can go again. I think he can add goals to his game as well, Gordon. You know, I think that's one of the things as a midfielder you would want to add from that particular area of the park. And I think as a manager, you know, you're guaranteed the energy levels, because I think at Rangers every 3 days you have to trap again. So there won't be any issues with that. So listen, I just think he's in a really good moment. I think he was a standout player last night as well in the middle of the park. So I think he's in a really good place at the moment.
How far can he go this season, Aaron? Do you think there's still more to come?
Even the Scotland setup, how he's on the bench, I don't know. Not mean when you watch him.
Well, to be fair, it's the ones in front of him, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's certainly.
Obviously, there's good players there. There's a good
discussion, I think, Marvin, about whether he's on the plane. It's nice to have that phrase in the locker for the next couple of months. In terms of midfielders, McGinn, Ferguson, McTominay, Christy Gilmore, and even, you know, Kenny McLean is going for sure.
Yeah,
after what he did in the Denmark game, you better believe he's going no matter what. You're then in the last couple of squads, you're then at Lennon Miller, who incidentally starting his first Serie A game tonight for Udinese, maybe taking longer than he would have liked and other people, and he's had some minutes here and there, but starting for the first time tonight in Serie A, him and Barron. And then the other one that's been in squads is Andy Irvine.
Josh Mulligan as well, was in the last one?
Conor Barron go to the World Cup, do you think?
Listen, I think he's doing everything within his powers at this moment in time with his performances to give himself the best opportunity to do it. I think he's one of the ones, Gordon, that he's probably sitting on the edge of it. But, you know, as Mark was saying, Aaron was saying and Alex was saying as well, you know, his performances have been really, really good for them. I think he's added more to his game now. His energy was always there coming from Aberdeen, but I think his actual quality on the ball has gone up. I think he's now demanding the ball off players and trying to make Rangers tick as well. So he's definitely added, you know, more to his game at this moment in time. And as I said there, I think he's doing everything within his power to get in Steve Clarke's eye line. And, you know, it's ultimately up to the manager whether he goes or not, but he's doing his bit.
I think we alluded to it earlier as well. Now taking the corners, I know it might seem like a small thing to some people, Alex, but
no.
To show that you've got the kind of quality to take over from James Tavernier.
Yeah, I seen him a couple of weeks ago, and right away it caught my eye because I'm thinking to myself, oh right, okay, because he seemed to be the driving force. He was getting the ball down. He's saying, right, I'm taking this, and I think the actual quality that he's actually put, because we spoke about this earlier on with the set pieces. You know, if you can put the ball on the money, it's just a case of then obviously attacking it. But I think he's there, and I believe he's kind of borderline. Now, it'll depend on how he goes between now and the summer. I get the impression that Steve Clarke will pretty much rely on the guys he's seen over the tenure, but you never know how people are going to have drop-offs, potential injuries.
And in fairness to Conor Barron, he's not in the Scotland picture. Mm-hmm. He's been in squads.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's kind of easier than
do we know the numbers yet,
from the blue? I don't think it's been confirmed yet.
I think they're talking about 26, aren't they? But so I've seen some people say rumour about 30, a 30 man squad.
It's just too many.
I think so. But if you can't get in a 30 man squad, then
you don't. I can maybe contradict myself, Alex. You don't have to be a goal threat in that area of the pitch. If you're in that list I've just read, Billy Gilmore doesn't score many goals, but he's exceptionally good at what he does. I do wonder if, even although you're kind of more defensive minded, if you're at Rangers particularly and you're playing domestic, should he be looking to become more of a goal threat in the second half of the season?
Without doubt. I think when you look at the top teams, the top midfielders, they pitch up with goals, and I think that's one of the things. Even when I was there, I was saying to the corner, you know, you've got to trap up, you've got to pick up areas, and then you've also got to kind of execute the strike and so forth. So I think he is going in the right direction, and I think Danny Rowan will be delighted with what he's actually doing, because it's as a midfield, you want people who are driving the team forward all the time, and then obviously trapping up with the odd goal. I'd also like to see him kind of orchestrate more, play diags, play little give and goes, and then just add all these little ingredients, because he's doing it very well.
That's, I know it's we're talking about an individual role here in terms of should he make the Scotland squad, but just a small footnote, Marvin, on why the end of this season's so interesting. If Conor Barron, if he is the driving force in a Rangers team that goes on to win the league from here, that looks much better than in your Scotland credentials, rather than being a, it wasn't so long ago, he's a bit part player in a Rangers team that's nowhere near winning things. You know, that changes the conversation, doesn't it?
100%. It strengthens his position in terms of, you know, him going to the World Cup. And he could actually say, you know, the upturn that Rangers have had in kind of results, he's been a key part of that. His performance have improved, Rangers' performance have improved. And listen, I know it's a team game, but speaking about the individual at this moment in time, and one thing I think is going for him at the moment is that energy that he does have. I think you talk about all the other midfielders that you've spoken about there, they're very different to him in terms of the way that he plays the game. So that might be another thing that, you know, Steve Clark looks at. Who's the most energetic one that I can have of a bit of quality? For me, it would be Barron at this moment in time.
Okay, thank you very much to Aaron from Bells Hill on the line, 01419511025. That's the number that you need. You can tweet away as well at Clyde SSB. It's going to be good. I know we've got big fish to fry at the moment, but it's going to be nice to have this World Cup debate between now and the end of the season, not just for Conor Barron, but for various players. I'm sure. And actually, the January window, I wonder if that's coming into the minds of other players in terms of should they move, you know, should they go and get game time,
goalkeepers,
all that sort of stuff brings to mind, doesn't it?
Craig Gordon is a real obvious one, but Hearts aren't going to let him go, are they? That's the thing. So he either forces his way into the Hearts team or he doesn't. You know, there's no way
if I'm Hearts, I'm not letting him go. He's a number two, isn't he? And like you said, it only takes one injury for him to go in. I can't see Hearts ever letting him go.
It's not an ideal situation though, going into a World Cup, you know, where a goalkeeper hasn't played for months, you know,
it's going to be the full
season then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we got away with it in,
was he 41 now?
43. Just turned up in Hogmanay.
Still young.
43. Yeah, that's big.
Gary's responded actually on that last point on the line. Hi, Gary.
Hiya.
How's it going?
So, not bad. What I just want to say is I'm a Celtic fan, right? And I'm just wondering, is he proven enough? And your
opinion? Oh, the line's... Sorry, hold on. Right, your line broke up a bit there. I think the gist of what you were saying is, has Conor Barron proven himself enough to be in this Scotland discussion, yeah?
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I would have him at Celtic in the current situation that we're in now. but is it proven enough in European competitions against the big guns? That's just my main thought about it.
It just depends on what... I think when you're talking about Scotland squad, it's always this. That question that Gary asks is a valid one, but we're probably not talking about, right now, Conor Barron going to the World Cup and starting every game.
Yeah,
you know, we're talking
about,
can you be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? We're talking about, do you go as the 7th midfielder? So we're Scotland, we don't carry 10 midfielders who've all proven themselves at a European level, have we?
No, not at all. And as I said, I think it's borderline as it stands with the players who have actually done really well over the last several years under Steve Clark. So I think there's obviously a pecking order there, and you've got some of your big hitters, McGinn, McTominay, and Gilmore. So there's lots there. You've got Ferguson, who's come in and made a big impact as well. You've got McLean. So I think he's on the peripheral, and I think it would probably be one or two of them who are on that list.
Do you think he's ahead of Lennon Miller at this moment in time?
Conor?
Yeah.
No, I think they're slightly different in the way they go about it.
100%.
Yeah, so again, could it depend how much he plays between now and then?
That's what I'm saying.
If that's him now starting his first game in Serie A tonight.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you're talking about borderline. I think probably those two are probably sitting... I think Barron might be slightly ahead of him.
Again, it depends how many
played.
You take. They make both.
Yeah. I think that's where he'll kind of be, you know, sitting in the pecking order now.
All right, thank you very much to Gary for his thoughts. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part, been another quick show. Ian and Lanark's got a nice teaser for the guys. I'm going to bring in Billy in a, just a, in fact, you know, let's do Billy now because he's been hanging on for ages. I'm sorry, Billy, we got distracted there. What's your point tonight?
That's all right. Well, first of all, just to touch on Gary's point, I mean, Connell's been doing it week in, week out at Rangers, and Ben Gannon, Doak, Kenny McLean, Ryan Christie, any of them have proved it in Europe. I mean, so he's got every right to be there. And he's also, as Marvin quite rightly pointed out, he's a totally different midfielder to the ones that you mentioned, because he's a kind of bite your legs, a wee waspy midfielder, I mean, he'll win the ball back.
Right, listen, it's always hard to compare when it gets to the national team, because to be fair to, well, Gannon Doak's definitely a winger, but to be fair to Ryan Christie, you play in the English Premier League, yep, and that's where you get your sort of credit comes from, rather than having to do it in European competition. But no, listen, it's going to be a good couple of months, I think, trying to see how it all fits in. So is he one that's impressing you for Rangers, Billy? What more needs to happen to turn this?
Yeah, well, my point was, Rangers need a few signings. They need two directly going straight into the team. One, a left back, because Magoma, he's been caught in melt positions in a Kama Sutra, I think, you know what I mean? But
whoa, the thing is, that's one that's caught me off guard, because I don't think that's not allowed.
Oh, fair away.
I think it's just
that's allowed.
I think it's just a yellow card on the family show, and it's right at the end, so
play on.
It's not 6:05. We saying play on. Yeah. Just a warning advantage.
Billy's just one man in a match.
Billy, we've given you the advantage. Don't make me regret that. Don't make me regret it.
No, you're not. It's just, you know, I mean, we need a centre forward as well. I mean, because the injury room in midfield's playing, I mean, they're brilliant now. Diamandi, Raskin and Conor Barham, superb. And in all honesty, I think now, if Rangers can't win the league this year with that Celtic team, Jesus.
What about Hearts?
I mean, because, Hearts, I don't see Hearts lasting the distance, in all honesty. I mean, I've been watching Scottish football for 50 years, I'm a season ticket holder. But the likes of that Celtic team is, I've not seen as bad a Celtic team in years. But like I say, Ralston, I don't rate him. No, I mean, Liam Scales, the bomb scare. No, I mean, Trusty's a bomb scare. Then you've got the like say on either side. Our prime example, Magoma. Magoma's the only one in Scotland that could make Yang look like a world beater.
Mm.
I mean, 9 out of 10, he's useless.
The thing about Hearts credentials, though, Billy's saying, you know, they just can't see them lasting, speaking about watching for 50 years. That, at the moment, it's kind of all it is. History says it's hard for other teams. True, but also, I don't know if that does have relevance. We'll find out, because Hearts have nearly played two rounds of fixture. They've hardly dropped any points. Yeah. They've not lost a single game to Celtic or Rangers, so what happened in 1994 or 2003 or whatever?
85 was the last time that Hearts, I remember, were kind of champing out the door. And then they obviously lost in the last game of the season.
Does that matter if Hearts not shown by now that they're the real deal? Or 7th of January?
I think it's a slightly different situation, purely for the point of view as they've beaten the Old Firm, so they're getting into the games thinking we can actually get results. I think they've recruited really well. And I think if you'd have said to Rangers fans 6-8 weeks ago, you know, the recruitment hadn't been great. Now, they're obviously on a decent run now. Celtic will not continue in the form that they've shown in the last 8 games. I'm sure Martin O'Neill will turn that around. Don't forget, Celtic will add also in the January window. And I think going back to Hearts, you know, they've brought in a right back for $800,000. So they're showing intent, but they're intending to
do. Really good, by the way.
Yeah, and so the thing is, I just feel as if Hearts, I think they've just secured Finlay. When his contract expires at Oxford, obviously on loan. So they're tying these people up. They feel as if they're comfortable in what they're doing. And, you know, they've shown real consistency. And I think that's, you know, hasn't always been the case with Hearts.
Yeah, I totally agree. Listen, we played Hearts at the weekend, and it's one of those things. They kind of, in the first half, they were very, very good. In the second half, they came off it, but they still end up winning the game. You know, defensively, really, really tight. They're a threat at set plays, what we're talking about there. You know, we've got the best record in the league. So Listen, I do agree with Billy. I don't think Hearts will win it, but I don't think they'll fall. No, I don't. I really, really don't. But I don't think they'll fall away as much as I thought they may have. Maybe, you know, 6 weeks ago. You know, Jarrett McKinnison and the players have done extremely well. I just think, you know, I just can't see them win it. I think they'll get pipped to the post.
It's a lot of football left to be played. Mm. Thank you to Billy. What about Kieran and Darnley? Let's squeeze one last one in. Hi, Kieran.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Not bad. Not bad. What are you thinking?
I think the sacking of Nanzi was premature.
Really?
We gave him the January transfer window, and we got a couple of signings in for the players back that are injured. We could have romped on and won the league.
Could you have allowed him to go into that window and spend the money though with two wins in eight games?
But I think with the right back we've brought in, the wee Mexican dude Araujo, and the centre back for Columbus, I think that would have been a step forward. We've got Jota coming back. The other players that are all injured, and I think we could have stepped up as long as they fitted the system, because the players now don't fit the system. Andy Ralston, as Billy said, is shocking. I don't agree with the trustee and skills one. I think John Searle's worse, but I mean, I think if we go to the January transfer window, we could have romped on, and I get it's only Hearts that we need to worry about. Rangers will fall off again. So
what makes you say that though, because it's been since Danny Rule came in, they've not really dropped many points, have they?
I know they've not dropped points, but their performance have been absolutely stinking recently. Against Celtic, obviously, they've done well in the second half. But if you've watched the first half, we should have been 5-0 at half time.
Hmm. Interesting, because the thing about the returning players, I think Martin O'Neill said March for Alistair Johnson, so there's a lot of football to be played before then. I don't think there is much of Cameron Carter-Vickers this season. No, I'm sure I saw him. I think he's still in a boot. I'm sure I saw him at Lennox Town on Friday, still in a boot, and it's January.
I'm not too fussed about Carter-Vickers. He was rotting before he got injured.
Jeez, Keelan's a hard man to impress, I've noticed. Jota, maybe. I don't mind it, because I like a broad spread of opinions. I've not heard many Celtic fans say they should have stuck with Wilfried Nancy, but Kieran thinks
it'll be the minority says that they should have stuck with him, and I think it'll be the minority to say that Carter Vickers is not the best centre half at Parkhead also. So obviously they're going to miss him for the majority of the season. And listen, I actually feel as if Celtic can get a good number nine in the door and a good centre half, I feel as if, you know, with the chances they create on a regular basis, I think they'll start getting the results they're looking for.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I'm surprised that they have not brought a number nine in by now. I think that's something they need to do as soon as they possibly can. Because like Alex,
that's a difficulty, Marvin, though. You know, you're trying to scratch your boot for a number nine. Who's going to get you goals?
I don't be looking for a number nine. It's an improvement on currently what they do have up there.
Yeah, and of course.
Unfortunately, young boy Kenny's not managed to take his opportunity. There's a lot of pressure on the young man. I'm sure he'll have a good career at Celtic. But in terms of just getting an improvement in, you know, I'm surprised that they haven't managed to find one. And if they can't find one, then that's a worry.
Okay, thank you, Kieran, as well. That was us rounded off on the phones. I suspect not much time left, so thanks again to everyone who took part on the phone lines tonight. Let's revisit the teaser and see if you two can finish it off. Ian in Lanark fired up the email fulltime@clyde1.com and said, can you name the 8 top scoring Englishmen to play for Rangers since 2013? It's sort of a nod to Manuel Fernandez and his goal scoring run. James Tavernier is top. 4th on your list is Jermaine Defoe. 7th on your list is Josh Windass.
Wycon?
Yep, 2nd.
Oh, I did have Wycon. That was the only one I did
have. Aribo?
Nope.
Kemar Roof?
No, actually, that's a surprise.
That was my banker.
Hey, goals. Oh, do you know what? Plays for Jamaica internationally. That'll probably be it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Why are you looking at me, mate?
I'm waiting for you to call me.
I've got nothing for you.
How many have we got there? No. 5?
What about...
4.
They don't all have to be attackers. What if they just played a lot?
Clint, hell no.
Same department, but yes, played way more than him. A real stalwart for a long time. Until 2 seasons ago, something like that. Think of during the Gerrard era, who was the main centre back? Oh, come on.
I'm trying to think.
Seriously? No, you two are hopeless. Wow.
My mind's gone blank.
Think about it. It was always Tavernier then. Oh, he signed from Brighton. We were watching the TV.
Oh, I would say Golson. Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Golson.
Right, quickly. A winger. Maybe that didn't score as many as he should have. Yep. And the last two, I can't see the clock to see when we're out.
Don't
of
worry about the clock. Come this on, just play. Don't
it's
worry.
Broken. No, because
we've got loads of time.
We don't. A midfielder that the Rangers fans difficult relationship with. He's now at Blackburn.
Oh, Todd.
Todd Cantwell. Mm-hmm. And the last one is way back at the start of this period when they were down the divisions. Signed from Motherwell, I think. Scored some goals for Motherwell. Then went to Rangers. Had the same haircut as you, Alex Ray.
Law?
Nicky Lossy. The haircut
wow.
comment did
Algen
it.
Lombardo.
Thank you to Alex Ray and Marvin Bartley. Back tomorrow at 6:00.